The following talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonabakar at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan is a senior monastic and dharma holder in the Mountains and Rivers Order. He serves as director of operations at Zen Mountain Monastery and also helps run the National Buddhist Prison Sangha. This talk, like all of our talks, is given free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
Some excerpts from the beginning of Zazengi, which are Dogen Zenji's rules for Zazen. He says, practicing Zen is Zazen. For Zazen, a quiet place is suitable. Lay out a thick mat. Do not let in drafts or smoke, rain or dew. Protect and maintain the place that contains your body. Set aside all involvements and let the myriad things rest. Zazen is not thinking of good, not thinking of bad. It is not conscious endeavor. It is not introspection. Do not desire to become a Buddha. Mindful of the passage of time, engage yourself in Zazen as though saving your head from fire. So Zazengi is one of the couple of fascicles, chapters, that Dogen wrote about Zazen that are kind of specifically instructions in Zazen. So this translates as the rules for Zazen, but I prefer instructions in Zazen. He says, practicing Zen is Zazen. Zazen is practicing the way. Zazen is actualizing the fundamental point. It is practice realization. He says, practicing Zen is Zazen. And yet there isn't a whole lot of instruction about Zazen written in the records. In a way, there's not much to say. When someone comes here for the first time, we spend about half an hour giving instruction in Zazen. And then you're on your own, which is the way it has to be. We have to find our own way. If we practice sincerely and find our own way, over time, the way unfolds for us. Our mind can be revealed. We can meet ourselves. In another fascicle, Dogen says, you should cease from practice based on intellectual understanding and learn the backward step that turns your light inwardly to illuminate yourself. Cease from practice based on intellectual understanding. It is not based in ideas. It is not an idea. And it's just between you and yourself. Nobody else can do this for you. And we also need help. There is instruction. There is guidance. Dogen is offering us guidance. We need the teachings if we want to progress, understand, meet ourselves. And we may need a teacher because we do need guidance. I have been appreciating my teacher, how important it has been to work with a teacher, how important appreciating that aspect of our practice here, the emphasis on working with a teacher and the importance of working with a teacher over time. Dogen's instructions in Zazen are simple. Some of them are very practical. Lay out a thick mat, he says. Do not let in drafts or smoke, rain or dew. Elsewhere, he talks about how to sit on the zafu, how to hold the body. The posture is important. When we give instruction in zazen, we start with the posture, how to hold the body, and of how to be in the body, how to practice in the body. Zazen is body and mind. It is embodied. And so right from the beginning, Dogen talks about the posture, about how to hold the body. He says, nose over the navel, ears over the shoulders, to sit upright so we can be stable and upright, relaxed. There may be some discomfort in this upright, relaxed posture. He doesn't talk about that. But I think it's helpful to know that that is common. And that working in the body, working with the body, is a part of practice. It's a part of zazen practice. Dogen says, protect and maintain the place that contains your body. Protect and maintain the place that contains your body. Elsewhere, he says, day or night, the place of sitting should not be dark. It should be kept warm in winter and cool in summer. He says to eat and drink in moderation. It seems so simple and mundane. This great master brought zazen across the seas to Japan. He's the founder of our school. But it's important. What do we need to do to set ourselves up for zazen, to begin zazen? How do we take our seat? Consider what we do here in the zendo. The forms, the robes, the bows, the care that we take with arranging the room, straightening the cushions, the altar, offering incense. What does that do? How is that helpful? How is that setting us up? How is it conducive to zazen? It's not needed. It's not necessary. It's meant to be helpful. What do we need to set ourselves up for zazen? Coming here into the zendo, what is helpful? Sitting alone, in your place where you sit alone. What is helpful? What sets you up for zazen? It's worth giving some attention to. Just this morning, I was in the bathroom a few minutes before zazen. This happened before, and I heard someone running into the building. It was a few minutes before the period was going to begin. And just like, that's not conducive. How's that going to be? To arrive at your seat. For many years, I've gotten up early so that I can do some stretching and have a cup of coffee before dawn zazen, because I need some time to wake up. The cup of coffee has always been helpful. And a few months ago, I started to realize that then I would come into the zendo and I was having a hard time settling. Something's changed. The coffee's doing something different to me. Now I'm allowed like that much. It's not conducive anymore, not helpful anymore. Dogen says, set aside all involvements and let the myriad things rest. Set aside all involvements. This reminds me of the Buddhist instructions in zazen, which I've always kind of been fascinated and loved this line. The Buddha says, to sit, to take our seat, having put away covetousness and grief for the world, having put aside grasping and aversion, wanting and anger, before we even take our seat or as we take our seat. I've always wondered at that. This is practice instruction. What is it to let go of all involvements? To let the myriad things, there are myriad things that we get involved with, let them all rest. Let them take care of themselves so that we can turn inwards, so that we can experience what it is to let go of all involvements. What is it that we bring to the cushion? We get to see this, all of the things that we are involved in. What do you get involved in? All the myriad things that we carry around in our head to come to the cushion with us. When we're involved in this way, the light is turned outwards. Our attention is turned outwards. Let go of all involvements. I sometimes see, as I take my seat, how I actually turn towards involvements. I can sort of hear myself. It's not like quite a voice, but it's like, oh, what should I think about? Which I think is really like, what would be comforting? How can I comfort myself? Continual practice of letting go of all involvements. To just sit and do my practice. And when we see that we're involved, to look, how is it that we're involved? What do we get involved in? What does that create? Can we see how these ways of being involved are turning our attention outwards, outside of our direct experience, outside of just where we are a way that we kind of hold ourselves a bit of a remove from ourselves. How they're a way that we create our sense of self. So to remember always, thoughts are not a problem. It's important to take care of each part of our Zazen practice. And so part of that is seeing thoughts, is seeing what arises, is knowing what's happening, body and mind. And letting go, returning to our practice, which is not cutting off, is not stopping, is not numbing. Thoughts are not a problem. They're not bad. They are natural. And our involvement with thoughts, our constant involvement, is a way that we hold ourselves a bit outside of ourselves. How is it when we truly let the myriad things rest? Allow the mind to rest, to come to rest. And we should allow ourselves to experience this. It takes some time and effort, but to know for ourselves that we can allow the mind to rest. I was thinking kind of in a sense so that we can see that there is, so we can do something different. I think Shugen Roshi was talking about this recently, of, you know, just, you can think of practice as just doing something different. Different from how we usually are in our mind. And so giving ourselves the opportunity to see that things can be different. Allowing the mind to settle so that we can see, well, the mind doesn't have to be chasing things around all the time. We don't have to be entertaining ourselves all the time. Allowing the mind to be settled, unified, so that we can experience ourselves differently than the suffering and disappointment that we are used to, different than the difficult emotions that maybe we may be so used to, anxiety, depression, irritation, anger, fear, to experience something different than feeling a little bit outside of our lives, a little bit disconnected from ourselves. We want to be connected. We want to be inside of our lives. And so that we get to a chance to see that these mental states are mental states. They're not permanent. We could say they're not real. Often in the teachings, that is communicated. At least they're not real in the way that we assume them to be, we think them to be. They're there, they appear, they have an effect. They are our experience. And they're not real in the way that we tend to think they are. Dogen says, Zazen is not thinking of good. It is not thinking of bad. It is not conscious endeavor. It is not introspection. Do not desire to become a Buddha. More instruction. But an interesting, it's like he's not giving us, it's not telling us what to do. It's not this. It's not this. And again, pointing to the things that we do. It's not doing in the ways that we are accustomed to doing. It is not creating something, not creating some state of mind. We can kind of continually remind ourselves of this because we do this so much. Trying to create a state of mind or experience a state of mind again that we've experienced before. Trying to experience what we imagine we're trying to reach. It's not creating, it's letting go. It's returning. Letting go of what obscures, confuses. In another place, Dogen says, do not value what is far away and do not despise it. Become completely familiar with it. Do not despise what is near at hand and do not value it. Become completely familiar with it. Do not take the eyes lightly and do not give them weight. Do not give weight to the ears, and do not take them lightly. Make your eyes and ears clear and sharp. It's a more helpful instruction. Shugen Roshi quotes this pretty frequently. Don't ignore it. Don't make a big deal out of it. This is really helpful instruction in how to work with thoughts, emotions, really everything that arises, everything that we experience. Don't ignore it. Don't make too much of it. Don't ignore it because it's important to know what's happening. That's a really important part of practice. Seeing, feeling, an inner seeing. When a thought arises, okay. Instructions, don't give it too much weight. Don't make too much of it. Because that's one of the things that we do. And don't ignore it. Don't push it away. Don't numb it out. See it. We want to know what's happening. Because we do ignore. We do push away. What happens when we do these things? What are we creating? When we give a thought too much weight, when we give it weight, What happens when we ignore them? This is helpful instruction in working with emotions. Don't give them too much weight, but don't ignore them. Be aware. There is helpful information. Again, what's happening? From our thoughts, from our emotions. Where is this feeling coming from? What happens as a result of what I'm feeling? Does it lead to speech, action, thought, a story in my mind, an argument? A story that explains what I'm feeling, justifies, fuels, perpetuates. We give our feelings a lot of weight. We believe them to be true. Teachings say they're not as real as we think they are. So we should examine this. What does that mean? They're real. They're happening. It may be helpful to ask some questions when we see that we're caught in an emotion and the story that goes along with it. Just what's happening? Something's happening. Hearing the story to ask, is that true? Do I actually believe it? To ask, what is this creating? What am I creating? What's happening? I was thinking, you know, this practice instruction it's an instruction that is pointing to the way that things are, helping us to understand the way things are. The teachings say this is the source of our suffering. We take things to be more than they are. We give them a kind of existence that they don't have. We give ourselves a kind of existence, weight, that does not exist. And so then we're in a kind of confused relationship. I've been studying some of the teachings in the Madhyamaka, which are teachings about emptiness. And I'm not going to go into very much detail here. It's kind of dry and difficult, but helpful. Basically, the teaching is that things do not have inherent existence. They do not exist from their own side. They're empty. They are dependently originating. They're dependent. All things are interdependent. And these teachings go through very sort of meticulously to show this over and over in all these different ways. So with motion, well, there's nothing, there's only motion in relationship to stillness, to something being stationary. With size, something is large only in relationship to being to something that is smaller. And so these are dependent. They're not existing independently. Those characteristics are not independent. And so just again and again going through examples like that. And as I've been reading this, and this is a question I've had before, my question is, how do I see that I am giving too much weight, basically? How do I see that I'm imputing this existence that the teachings say don't exist, isn't there? How am I invested in my mind in this being solid and permanent and independent? And I think the answer is we can see that. This is sort of not a direct answer, but whenever we are suffering, whenever we see that we're holding on, kind of dug in, think of how we dig in about an opinion. I think we can see this in the way that we overestimate the pleasure that something's going to give us, or overestimate the pain, the discomfort that's going to come from something. We're giving something an existence, a kind of existence that it doesn't have. That's why we're disappointed then. And so try to see when there's some suffering, some struggle. Where's the grasping? Where are we holding on? Where are we making something more than it is? Because it's hard to see when we're caught in something. It's hard to see what's happening. It's hard to see that we're creating something. It's hard to see outside of our experience, outside of our struggle. But this is kind of a central part of practice, is seeing through our difficult emotions, freeing ourselves, liberating our difficult emotions, the places where we get caught. So as I was sitting this morning, I was like, there's something that happened earlier this week, and I was just like, okay, that's sort of unerringly when I'm working on a talk. Something will happen that, like, this is the teachings. This is what the teachings are pointing to. So I'm going to try and tell this briefly. But earlier this week, this was sort of a work situation. I had sent an email to some people, something that I'd been working on, to get some feedback. And the feedback that I got back, I was not pleased with. I had a total reaction to it. And I recognized what was happening. I didn't react. I've learned not to react to an email quickly when I have a reaction to it. I came back the next day and read it more thoroughly. Still having a reaction, but okay, see things a little bit clearer. Saw that I was starting to create my story, my argument, the response that I was going to write. It was going to be measured, but quite pointed. Could see in there that I was feeling hurt, and though it was going to be measured, I also could see that it was going to cause more disturbance. And so I had enough awareness. I was seeing what was happening, able to just at least see what was happening and sort of have some question, what's going on? I'm upset. What's happening? But I was upset. I couldn't let it go. This period of zazen, it came up immediately. The whole period of zazen, it was just this argument in my head. It feels like there's something real. What is it that's real there? What's happening? I know I'm creating something. What's happening? And I also can see that I'm suffering. It's uncomfortable. I don't want this. And so there's some struggle there, but that's also a sign. I'm suffering. There's a way in which I like it. I'm right. Pretty sure I'm right. The story in my head, I'm like sounding pretty good. But I'm also suffering. And so eventually I asked for some help from someone who knows me pretty well. And the first thing they said, when I explained the situation, they said, it's not surprising that you're reacting in this way, right? So this is triggering, this is sort of familiar. And I could see that. It's like, that was actually helpful, okay? This is me reacting. And then they suggested that I share this with some of the other people who were involved. So I wasn't alone in it. That was interesting. It's like then everything sort of opened up, let go. And so there's still this situation. We need to work some things out. I still think I'm right, but it feels completely different. It's like somehow I've returned to some not knowing. So I hope that's helpful. I feel like it is difficult to see how we, it's difficult to see how we're deluded. It's difficult to see how we're holding on. But there are these signs that we can learn to be familiar with. And we can reflect on the teachings. So even before we have some direct experience of emptiness, we can know the teaching of emptiness, the teaching of grasping, that understanding of the human mind, and use that. Don't give things too much weight. Don't ignore them. We can practice that with all of the things that we encounter that arise in us. Become very familiar with them. How are things different when we come close? Dogen says, the end of that excerpt that I started with, mindful of the passage of time, engage yourself in zazen as though saving your head from fire. We sometimes say this differently. We say as though extinguishing a fire upon your head. A dramatic image. Engage yourself in zazen. Time is passing. There is something to take care of. And so, to engage ourselves in zazen, we need to be clear about what that means, know what our practice is, to trust that practice, to trust your practice, so that you can give yourself to your practice. And see what happens. Allow things to unfold. Don't try to create anything. Don't try to create a Buddha. Just give yourself to your practice. Trust that. It takes effort. We shouldn't be fooled by that. And time, we can trust it. Trust yourself.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.